What we did say was that we were giving them 10 days to bring the contract back. There's another portion of that that says, where is it in this dialogue? How did the contract come up? How did the license come up that it was invalid? That was a key part of that.
Yeah.
And that's not in here. So it is difficult to put all the detail in, because it was Mr. Mendoza that did bring it up to the board that meeting at the other office and said, I want to ask you, are you aware that the contract was not valid? Your license was suspended. That's not in here. And that's a huge part of that. So my remedy is, can we obtain some kind of recording?
That's me.
Yeah.
And I thought about
that. So that we can go with the detail, but have some kind of backup. Yeah. That if it ever gets to that point, you can always go back.
Yeah. And I appreciate that, because I once you start talking about action items, I talked to the chancellor, what else can we do? Because we erase this, you got to record the minutes. So right. I've been trying to keep recording the minutes. Hopefully it comes out good. When they come, the reason those minutes don't have what I asked, what I said, if you remember back in our last minute meeting, the chair at that time said that we don't want your commentary, we don't want your whatever you said, your dialogue, we just want what they said or what was acted on. So we kind of retracted a little bit of what I've been saying, or I said this, or a question, or I replied this. Remember all those replies that I had in all the other minutes?
Sure.
And you'll see them right now on these right here.
Right.
So I was told going forward not to do this, so I'm like, okay, fine. So we didn't include them in these minutes that you approved today, because I was going based on what I was directed at the last meeting, so that's why they're not, that's why you don't find that there. But that's why I'm asking that you have to make a decision today whether you want to go abbreviated where I won't have as much detail at all, or we go forward with as much detail that we can provide. We can't go word for word, because that would just take us forever, but at least some flavor of what happened, so it jogs your memory. And I could include some of my statements, like, oh, Mendoza said this, right. So that way, like, oh yeah, he did say that. But I retracted that purposely on these minutes, because I was told and directed by you to do that.
Right.
Or else I would have had that I'm the one that asked the question. I'm actually the one that asked the attorney, hey, what are this contract legally binding or whatever, right? And he said, it's up to you guys.
Right.
Like,
right.
Cool. But that's, yeah.
Yeah, for example, and I'm going to wrap this up, for another example, it says here, Trustee Gonzalez apologized for language and loudness. I remember when you did that. But somebody reading this is like, what language did they use?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So all I'm saying is I'm for the detail. I agree, yeah. I'm for the detail. Maybe we can purchase a tape recorder and have some.
Can that be set up to tape our meetings? Because I know that my sons have this because they raise dogs, so they don't want people to steal their dogs and stuff.
That's being recorded, but it's no sound. I could ask about sound, but we don't have sound on it yet. And I like the idea of getting like a centerpiece recorder of some kind, because if we ever have a call come in, it might be nice to kind of put on speaker and then kind of buzz, you know? A tape recorder or centerpiece.
Speaker. I fully support and agree with the recommendation that you've made, and after the board addresses the issue of accepting these minutes, I will then make a motion that our meetings are memorialized through some sort of technology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that way there's always that technology to back us up, and I can refer to that, and it's clear.
Now, but I also make the suggestion that the memorialization of the meetings should really be in two places. One is physically, but a copy should be placed in the cloud so that it should, the place burned down, you knew that we have a history somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right, that's a good point. Be the cloud, it would be safe. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't have that yet, because a lot of our documentation here, if it burns out, we're in trouble. Big time. We don't have a fire or anything here, so maybe I look into a fire safe since they put the documents in there.
So can you look into getting voice on that and setting it up at a time, like our meetings from 4 to...
Yeah, I mean, I could ask, I could actually...
Because I know my son set theirs when they go to bed at 2 in the morning until 9 when they wake up, because they want to know what's going on with the dog, but they don't want to run all day long when they're home.
Right. So regarding the action items, item 1A and B, you're in favor of detail?
I'm in favor of detail.
Okay. So you want to make a motion?
I make a motion to keep detail on our notes.
Okay. I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion passes with one abstention.
I would like to make the motion that Board of Trustee meetings are memorialized through technology at the choosing of the district manager.
ASAP? By the next meeting?
Yeah.
Actually, I think he's doing it now. So.
Yeah, so.
Oh, I said it
to
motion. I apologize. I'm so sorry.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. No opposed. So motion carries unanimously. Yeah. All right. So we get on to action item number 2, Mr. Mendoza.
Okay. Number 2, Mr. Chair. This is a. Did I get the wrong one? Hold on. The second set of the minutes. I'm like, what?
Okay. Anti-fraud.
Yeah, this is the anti-fraud resolution that was brought back from last month. It just covers basically, there's many pieces why we have this, what we're here before us. One is basically our auditor said that we have to have some sort of policy in place because we went through a lot of mismanagement and fraud, so we need to have something memorialized. And then our attorney, having known our history, said, oh, this is great because a lot of the districts, all the cemeteries, all the special districts, they have this similar language, and then it allows them to qualify for like an award to get for best transparency or something, or most, you know, more, you know, more having an anti-fraud, you know, just make it a little bit more, I don't know, that we're abiding by the state law with, you know, being anti-fraud. So basically that's what it means. And it seems like it's a border kind of play that everybody does this, you know, and it's basically everything that has happened here with the previous, our predecessors, as far as some of the activity that they were doing, the sweetheart deals and the, you know, the record keeping that was going on here and mismanagement, it's all in here. And, you know, and basically that's pretty much it. I mean, it's hopefully you got a chance to look at it, but it's basically, it's one of those, you know, anti-fraud. And I'll be sharing this with staff once it passes. I'll have a meeting and we'll go item by item so they can understand what the importance of this. And because and they need to feel comfortable that if I'm doing something wrong or Anna's doing something wrong, they need to find someone. And if they know I don't trust Tony because he knows Anna, they need to know that they could go to the trustees, that you guys are in charge of us. If anything fraudulent is going on here, because like they've been here 8 years, they told him bury that dog or else you lose your job. And, he,
right.
And these guys tell me, you know, they're the owners, right? So they had no idea. He was scared. So again, it goes to show you that, you know, they need to know that they have some sort of power, some sort of avenue to go to for a remedy.
The gentlemen that work here, I just know them by like high and by, and I've met them, I've shaked their hand. They both talk perfect English, correct?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Seems to be a common sensitive thing to me, so I would make the motion to approve item A2.
I'll second that motion.
Just a quick question. I know we brought this up the last time because it is a resolution. Does it need two readings?
No. Resolutions don't require two readings, only ordinances.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Motion has a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. So we have approved resolution 2019-1. Very good. We'll go on to
A3. Okay, I'm sorry, we're going to have to continue this till next month. Remember we had the issue about 1 hour for every 30 hours? Well, yes, it is 1 hour for every 30, not two. So the report, throughout the report, it had 2 hours, and then it went from 24 to 48 hours. It needed to be redrafted, and since the attorney got really tangled up in meetings and special meetings the last few days, he didn't get back to me, so I would ask the board if they could please continue to next month. Because I didn't get a chance to get it before right.
I didn't read, I looked at the report, and I barely, but when I was just making a few last notes in the car, saw the watermark. That's it. I didn't see it. I'm like, oh, maybe I looked with my left eye, not my right eye.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I apologize for that. I really wanted to adopt it right now, but it's like, yeah.
So I'll make a motion to roll this over to next month's meeting.
Or maybe the special meeting, if it's a public meeting.
Bless you, ma'am. Excuse me, thank you.
Second.
We have a first and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously with no opposition. Moving along to item number four, A4.
Again, this is carried over from last month. This is a trustee expense reimbursement policy. A lot of governing boards have these kind of reimbursement in place. And this will also help with the auditor. So then, but oh, well, how much? Well, it's right here. It's in writing. Again, many other governments have this. And we did make the changes that you requested as far as the pricing is concerned. I believe you wanted for breakfast $10, for lunch $12.50, and for dinner $15. And remove the 15% interest. I mean, tip. We're looking at some of the reimbursement on the second. Well, I'm looking at the second bit of the report. It was the cost of meals. They were really like $25. It was really high, but you know, it didn't, you know, but we lowered it. The board lowered the amounts to a more reasonable, I guess, amount. But that's pretty much it. That's all the changes we made, and it's back here for your approval.
I'll make a motion to pass the resolution.
I'll accept that motion. I'll second.
All right. We have a first and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously with no objection. All right, we'll move on to A5.
Okay. So A5, this is a resolution that has to do with public records request and complying with the Public Records Act of the State of California. And we pretty much comply. This basically pretty much adopts what other entities have adopted, pretty much saying that we will comply with the State of California and we will do it in a legal fashion. You got 10 days from when you get the request. You got 10 days after that to do it. And but I one of the things I wanted to mention is that staff recommends that we do move forward with this, but also I would like to continue. And I know that at the last board meeting it was discussed to eliminate the general counsel reference throughout the document, to get rid of the general counsel and just add LA County counsel, pretty much. And I would urge that we not do that and keep general counsel, because if we don't have a general counsel, by default, we go to the county. You see what I'm saying? And the county becomes a general counsel if we don't have a general counsel by default. But at the same time, I've spoken to the general counsel. I've been talking to the county counsel for like months. And every time I have questions, they're like, "Well, you're not an expert in cemetery law. You gotta find someone that can help you." They keep referring me. They send me whole bags of documentation with other attorneys that give the cemetery attorney that give it to us. I'm like, and then some of them are Quintanillas. I'm like, "Oh, they take this stuff." So they really don't want to do the work. They really don't. They've told me that over the phone many times. They hinted toward me lots of times. But I really hope that we can, if we keep this in-house, if I get a request, I'll put it together. I'll send it to the attorney, say, "What do you think? Can we do it? What do I send? What do I don't send?" And he'll send me what to say and send it back. It might be faster. It might take me, 3 or 4 days. We got 10 days, so I'll do it faster. I sent it to the county council on Monday. I barely got a response. Actually, I didn't get a response, so I emailed it to her again yesterday, because I know I have to do it by Monday. So I emailed her one more time and said, just a hey, reminder. And she's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'll get back to you tomorrow, tonight." And she did, and she got back to me today sometime. So I got an email from her, I'm thinking that's the answer. So once I get that together, then I get a chance to package it, put it together, put the disclaimer, and then send it out to whoever requested it. It just takes too long to go to the county. But I know that they had, the previous chair wanted it to go to the county, all requests.
Mr. Chair, if I might make a comment. The analogy would be school districts in Los Angeles County. The County Office of Ed oversees all of the districts. And I believe there's 173 elementary, union high school, and unified districts. And each of them handles their own business. They have sent everything to the county office. There'd be a boondoggle, I suspect, that with the county council, the same thing would happen if the different entities had to go that way. I would support using our own lawyer. so rightly put earlier in terms of inadvertently getting our dirty laundry out there. If we can keep it in-house, we probably have a better chance of coming up with a reasonable solution than other people sticking their nose into our business. Mm-hmm. So I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 85.
Yes, that. With,
yeah, 85.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a first and a second on the floor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. The motion carries without opposition. All right, A6, adopting protective footwear policy.
Yes, this is again, this is an issue that is in other cemeteries, and I talked to the attorney because we had an incident where an employee hurt his foot, dropping one of the boards on his toes. He was out for a couple of days, bruised them, but nothing bad happened. I still have to report it to the, you know, to workers' comp. They do all follow up. We have to report in 24 hours. It was like madness, man. It's kind of scary, right? You don't want, you know. So we did it, we did all that, and they're like, okay. Then they're like, I guess he's done. I go, oh, he's back, he's good. Okay, good, all right, thank you. Okay, case is closed, right? But I'm thinking, you know, other cemeteries have the policy to protect their foot, their feet. At the same time, they kind of, you know, when we come for renewal next year for our workers' comp, which I'm happy to say that I switched from the old carrier to this carrier just a month ago. And we've been with them less than a month. I'm already having an incident. But we've been with them less than a month, and we dropped our workers' comp from $12,000 to $6,000 a year. It's like incredible. It's a half, we save half the price. So I don't want it to affect our rates. I want to, you know, keep them as low as possible. So I urge that you adopt this resolution. I already would check the type of pair of boots that are very protective, and they range between 150 to 175 just down the street over here on Bellflower.
Where at?
Next, across the street from the buffet place, what's it called?
Right next to it. It's a boot
place there.
Yeah. There used to be a gentleman a few years ago that had his own shoe shine place right there on the corner.
Okay. Any questions?
I do have a question. Go ahead.
Okay, Tony, so boots for the employees, correct? And yourself?
I can include myself. I mean, I go out there. Yeah,
because you go out there. Okay, yeah. Now, my question is, because we're doing community service hours now, if that arises, what happens with them?
Oh, the people that come in? No, they're already under, they're protected under insurance. They're volunteers. They don't have to have that equipment.
Through the volunteer
program. Right, yeah. We'll give them other protective gear like gloves and whatever, but we don't have to have boots for them.
Correct.
And plus, we don't want them to be doing things that require boots. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, we just keep them lifting heads over the middle of the sun. That's probably as brutal as we get.
Are there any issues in terms of, since it's our boots, you know, like spraying the inside so that somebody doesn't get athlete's feet or anything like that?
No, this would they'll be their boots. They took care of them. They're going to maintain them. They're going to make sure they're required
to go home with them.
Yeah, they go home with them. They're required to bring them back every day. If they don't, they could be, you know, punished.
Sure.
And then, you know,
so they, probation. Yes, if they don't wear, that's their uniform, basically.
Yeah, that's a part of the uniform, yeah. And once we approve this, I'm going to have them take their uniforms home as well. So that way, when they come to work, they have to be prepared to start by 8 o'clock with their uniform versus changing here and waiting 5-10 minutes to get ready and get out. You know, it's just going to kill time.
If you could kind of just take a side note on this. So again, we come back to board policies and procedures. I think it's important, very important, that the district manager has the authority that if somebody doesn't come in with properly attired, with their protective boots, that you can send them home.
Yeah, I'll make that clear with the staff.
Okay, but see, again, no board policy and procedures book, no foundation. Right. It's just the district manager saying something, you know. It's something that the whole board has approved as a policy, and that's what gives it foundation. I'll make a motion to pass, to accept resolution A6.
Resolution 2019-005. It's item A6, though, but it's resolution now.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, we have a first and second on the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Tony, when is that going to start?
Now that you approved it, I should, within the weeks. I'll probably take them next week to go get them. Yeah, take the community. Yeah. Well, even though the boots will start every other year. But if honestly, if they wear them out in a year, we will get them another one. But if not, they're good. We'll keep them 2 years, you know. So it starts in January, but we're gonna get them now. I'd rather start now, and then basically this starts in January. But you know, I'll get them the boots now so I can just have them.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. We were in the middle of a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. All right. We have all opposed. No opposition. So the motion carries unanimously. We'll go to action item A7.
Okay. This is the resolution before you. This is a resolution to expand the board of trustees from 3 members to 5 members. And this will allow us to, you know, the district has 6-7 cities that we represent. I would like to expand it more. I'm talking to other LAFCO to see if we can include Bellflower. Bellflower is right there, like 2 blocks away, and they have to pay an out-of-area fee just to come here. And I'm hoping that we expand and allow them to be part of our cemetery. We'll get more business and more opportunity for them not to pay that and have, you know, we have more the intern here. Same thing with Lakewood. We don't have all of Lakewood. We actually don't even have all of Cerritos. We have the east side of Cerritos, which is, I think, past Bloomfield. They're not part of the district. So having 5 members will allow us to have more representation from different communities and more diverse board. So before
the east side of Bloomfield?
Yeah, that way. They have to pay out of area fee.
They can be buried. They just have to pay.
You have to pay an out of area fee.
Well, I live east of Bloomfield. Yeah. I am just right on the other side.
Well, I'm going to check. Yeah, you might be in that area. I'm trying to include it because there's no reason. You don't belong anywhere else anyway. You know what I mean? Like, we have Norwalk, south of Alondra, and now on the other side. But the other side already belongs to Little Lake. But Little Lake's maxed out. But they want the kid, they want to still keep the income, so it's not like that.
Now, eventually makes the decision about the boundaries. Should additional trustee positions become available?
Oh, LAFCO. LAFCO. But we even with the trustees, you know, the 5, we have plenty of cities to cover, 5 cities, you know, we have plenty of seats. What I'm saying is that if we go that route, But if we increase it to Bellflower, at least they get an opportunity for a little bit.
Sure.
They come here already.
Sure.
They just have to pay another area. They don't know it, though. They get surprised. They think they're right here.
Any questions, Trustee?
No.
I'll make a motion.
I do have a couple of comments on this one, sorry. I did speak to county about this about a month ago, and the county is eager to move to 5 trustees. It's going to take approval by the Board of Supervisors. It has to get on their agenda. And I think it is a resolution or ordinance. They're going to have to read it twice. I would like some stipulation in how we recruit future trustees. They should, you know, to remove the appearance of conflict of interest, I think the board should be the body that is in charge of selecting the trustees, meaning that we should be looking for residents in the areas that we service that are willing to serve and not that are either, you know, your good friend or my good friend or things of that nature. People that we feel would be qualified to help the board bring diversity, make solid decisions that represent the constituents of the area that are served by the cemetery district. So I'd like to see that is added into the language. The board is the body that makes the recommendations and the selections.
That might be an issue with the county because that's the authority that the supervisors have. I don't know if they're ready to relinquish that. I think that could be a separate ask, if you will. So that way they feel more comfortable with it. I think if you tell them you want to take that power away from you.
Mr. Wada was recommended by you.
Oh yeah, it's recommended
right.
By Dustin Kib, and I'm sure you recommend Melinda. So.
Right, but what I'm saying is we have a scenario where all of us have a personal connection to each other, and it does come through commission services. So it would be nice to bring on individuals that we don't know that can make contributions. Because if we just make it the boys club, the friends club, because at the end of the day, you know, we are responsible for the actions of the cemetery. And so Mr. Mendoza, by recommending Mr. Wada, you have a relationship. He recommended his own boss. he's hiring his own boss. So to avoid that appearance, we should say, you know, we should have individuals that would be interested that we could recommend to the trust, to the commission services, and they can vet, they can make sure they're qualified, and then they say, yes, this person is qualified. So there's a process that is done. And that's what I would like to see, because I don't want to give the appearance that this is just all friendship.
Yeah. Okay. So, do you want to include that in this resolution, or would you like to do a two-part thing so that the county can get it on their schedule? We could pass this, and then we can develop the language that would meet what you're saying, and then vote on that. In the meantime, the county is going through the process of expanding to 5.
I'm open to that. Yeah. To start the ball rolling.
Yeah, sure. And we can direct the district manager to write in that language. We can also direct him. I don't know who you talk to. You guys probably have a better idea than I do. To determine whether that's acceptable. But you never know.
Yeah, they have a division, commission services, and it has to go through them, and they say yes, and then it goes to board supervisors, and they say yes.
They got a lot of entries, people that are, so when you knew it, somebody else had called for this position too, from Bellflower, but the problem is they own a mortuary, so there's a bit of a conflict. And that's, I mean, everybody signs up or put me on the list.
Sure.
And they decide, so it's not like I would just, you know.
So, under the heading of discussion, we can approve item A7, mm-hmm. and then we can make another motion to direct the district manager, and I'm not so sure I can repeat what I said.
Right.
To do what you have in mind.
Sure.
Okay.
So here's my question. Like the ABC school district, for our school district, how they have somebody from different cities representing their city. But are you talking something like that? Like let's get somebody from Hawaiian Gardens, somebody from Lakewood, something like that? Or just somebody that, even if they all live in Artesia, it's somebody we don't know. Or
well,
they all live in Sweet
Hills. I think it would be nice to have people from other areas that we service.
Too.
So that we cover a little bit of Lakewood, mm-hmm. we get somebody from Lakewood.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a vested interest in serving to represent their portion of the community on our board.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I also kind of hear that you would like to avoid, and I agree, avoid a situation where somehow the board membership is stacked to meet a particular agenda. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I have no agenda.
No, I'm just
very happily retired.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I hope they get there one day.
All right. So I will, on a separate note, I'll inform the county that we would like to have.
Well,
to
first we have to approve this.
Oh, the resolution.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, let's.
So I will move that we approve item A7.
Mm-hmm. I second that motion.
All right. We have a first and a second. Any opposed?
No.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries for item A7.
Now I would like to make a motion that the board directs the district manager, and I will yield to you for the rest of the language.
That we write a policy where the board of trustees will recommend individuals to commission services to sit on our board of trustees when we expand to 5. So that we are making the recommendations.
I would also like to have the minutes reflect that the acting chair and trustee Wada jointly introduced this particular motion.
But Tony said he was going to look into seeing if that was okay.
Oh, yeah. That's part of the motion, I guess,
okay.
For the policy.
So do we have a second?
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Because you said write a policy. We can't write a policy telling them what to do, but I think we could let them know that we are interested in this process and let them know how should we go about it.
Because we don't call it a policy.
We got to find the right word. I just want to make sure. I want that flexibility because I don't want to say, okay, got it. Okay. Sorry, you were in motion.
No. Thank you for that clarification. So we have a first and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Linda.
Aye. I'm so sorry. I'm writing my
note. Even thought. All right. All opposed? Any opposed? All right. Motion carries unanimously. And we'll get on to item A8. Action item A8, the purchase of a new backbone utility card.
Yes. And this is an issue that's been going on for many, many months. So we have a current excavator and a current utility cart. Both were bought by our predecessors, entered into a contract that we feel was not just because he was not authorized to enter into this contract. Legal counsel is often out if we have a good case, but at the same time we don't because we're still using it, blah, blah, blah. So it's the lease company knows that they might be in a weak position as well, but they might be in a strong. They're floundering too. So they're saying, look, we don't want any more trouble. We want to just move away from this thing. Can you just buy out the contract for $40,000? We owe them $50,000 according to the lease contract. So buy them out at $40,000 and they walk away. I do have a buyer. I do have a buyer for these two old equipments for $34,000 is what they're willing to give me for both. And so that means that the district will be in the hook for $6,000. But yeah,
money would come out of the $47,000 that remain out of the grant.
Right, pretty much it's going to be in the account that we have the $87,000 right now in. The $6,000 would come out of there, our general fund basically. And we could enter into a new lease, and I have the equipment there to buy the actual excavator, the actual a backhoe that would actually. But that would actually do the work that we needed because it has wheels. The other one has tracks, so it tears up the grass and the dirt. And the other one, the backhoe, actually has wheels, so you could kind of go over the grass and not ruin it. And it also will come with a utility car that actually has four seats if you need it, but we won't need it. You just fold up the back seat and it becomes much bigger to put all the chairs and canopies and drive around the park, setting up funerals, right? We need that transportation within the park. But the current car we have here is four passengers, and we just throw junk in the back seat. We don't even use it. You see what I'm saying? They brought the wrong thing. They have the wrong equipment. So if we go into the lease, with the new lease, the bill is the monthly lease is $1,579. That's almost a wash because what we're paying right now for these two is $1,300. And the mower that we used to pay $300, it's already been paid off. We're done with that. So basically, we're just continuing the current payments that we're doing right now for these two. We're just continuing the equipment that we actually do need versus the one that's wrong for the cemetery.
So, quick question. Where would the $6,000 come out of?
Well, it'll come out of the general fund, which is if you look at the bank account, it will probably be under the what they call it, CC machine, which is our savings account. And I'll be honest with you that in a matter of about a month or two, we have a front loader. That once we get the backhoe, we don't need that front loader. Mm-hmm. And I could potentially sell that because we already own that free and clear. And I could get like $10,000 or $15,000 for that thing. Mm-hmm. It's a very popular, very good model. Our hours here is very low. We don't do a lot of construction. So everybody's like, "But you got how many hours?" They're very low. We don't use them. So it has a lot of value. So if I do sell it, then it'll be a wash, and we'll actually have money left over. So, but right now it'll be on the hook for $6,000, but we could actually wash it but once we sell it. So we won't need it.
Okay.
Is there a place to store all this? I gotta sell this stuff first before we bring the new one. we'll sell it and then the new one comes in and then we'll have room. We'll just swap it out. Yeah. We'll have room. Yeah.
And the old stuff you for sure have a buyer?
Yeah, I have a buyer. So I wanna make sure you sign the contract and give them the check. Before I buy the new one. before we buy the new one, because I am not going to do that. No. I don't want to be stuck with four of everything. No way. No. So anyway, before you try to end this lease with this company that we're both staring each other down, and it's not looking pretty. And it's I don't want to be stuck with this equipment, and we do owe them the money according to the county council. So I had to come with a solution. That's the only solution I could bring. I've been working on this for 2 months, actually more like 3.
I would think time is of the essence since you have a buyer in waiting.
Yeah, and that guy said, well, don't call me unless you want me to go buy. I'm like, damn. So I want to make sure this is set before, okay, it's done deal. Let's move forward. And I call this guy, okay, we qualify for the lease. We're good to go. Boom, we're good.
And the new equipment is coming from where?
Kubota.
Same company.
Yeah, same company. Wow. It's not like... John Deere is like the luxury car, right? Mm-hmm. Kubota is like, you know, off-brand, but it's still good. Yeah, sorry.
But is it coming from the U.S.?
I don't know. I don't think they're U.S. I don't think John Deere is U.S., but the other ones are not U.S. Yeah.
So is it going to be from here in California?
Oh, yeah, they're here in Long Beach.
Okay.
Yeah. The equipment.
So it's not like it's going to take months to get here?
No, it's going to take a week or two. They already have one.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know if it's in the lot or not, but they'll take a week or two to get here. So I have to play that switch out game. So I don't know how we're going to switch it out, but we'll get it out.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Okay, so yeah, you sell it, but then all of a sudden it's 3 months to get the
right number. Yeah, I don't want to do that. Yeah, they told me it'll be weeks because they sell a lot of these to government. They give me a government rate, so it's like 50% off or something. It's a pretty good rate.
So basically this is a go if you for sure sell the other two.
Yes, if not, I'm not going to. I'm not going to be stuck with all of that equipment.
It sounds to me like this deal could be accomplished as soon as tomorrow.
Yeah, they called me today. They thought it was today. They're like, no, I've got to wait till tomorrow. It's like
the old one is tearing up the grass.
Yeah. Oh, actually, we never showed you like the pictures about the tracks after the funeral.
I've seen.
Tear them up, and then, you know, especially when it rains, just tears it up.
And the new ones don't.
No, because the big wheels just kind of roll over the grass. Yeah. This is actually the backhoe is actually a cemetery backhoe. The bucket's a lot wider, so you can dig more than the little. And this one has teeth. Why do we have teeth? We don't have no rocks, you know what I mean?
Right.
So we need a bucket that will kind of cleanly shave the dirt out, you know?
And
so
I know I always ask this question, I apologize, but they get trained on how to use all this stuff.
Although they already know how it's the same kind of maneuver, but they'll train them to do the new equipment too. Well, at least one person. Yeah.
Well, then I will make a motion to approve item A8.
I'll second that motion to approve item A8.
Can I ask that the motion? No, let me ask for clarification. Yeah, I respect your motion. Does it need to state that the motion is contingent upon the sale of the?
Yeah.
Two items for $34,000, or is that okay because it's already in the language in the staff report?
Good question. However you feel, whatever you feel comfortable with, I know I won't sell it unless I won't buy it unless I sell that.
Right.
I'm not. But you can put it in the motion. That's fine.
I say.
I accept the amendment.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll go with the. Yes. We have a first and a second on the amended motion that we'll move forward with item A8, contingent upon the sale of the two other pieces of equipment. Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously without objection.
Good thing. All right. Next item. A9.
So this is an item that I had asked to be put on the agenda, and I wanted to. And I thank you for the two profit and loss documents from QuickBooks, the two reports that go with this. Wanted to bring up on the actual agenda, this is, in my estimation, this is like a pro forma, where you have your expenses captured here for your fiscal year or your year, and you have your anticipated revenue. What I would like to see is, you had indicated there's the tax roll that comes in.
A tax roll? Oh, yeah, tax roll, right.
So there's another tax roll coming, I think, by the end of the year.
I hope so, yeah. There's two big major disbursements, and that's April and January. That's the two major ones that I know of.
Okay.
And then I haven't got the list yet from the county that tells you those exact dates. I've been asking even before June, because we were needed for the budget, but they said we don't have it. But they usually have a list that tells you, okay, this your disbursement for this fiscal year are like, I'm like, they have smaller ones, you know, like redevelopment or something, like 10,000 in May or something like that, but it's not the major ones are January and April. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So with the budget, we're spending about $42,000 a month on average for expenses. That's what we have budgeted here.
Yeah.
Are we going to make it to the end of the year without any additional revenue? Meaning the anticipated sales is $26,000 a month. Or excuse me, $16,000 a month. That's what we have as anticipated.
Yeah, that's anticipated sales, right.
The $25,097
right.
is the tax roll that we have, but we spread that out.
Yeah, because we have to spread it out. And then some of that money is not even here because they use it in January. So we never carry it over.
Right, okay. So if we have October, November, December at $42,000 a month in expenses, that comes out to be $126,000, if my math is correct, in expenses. And we have 87,000 in the bank minus the 47. These is 40,000 plus 12. That's about six. So we have about 46,000. We just committed to spend 40,000. So we just committed to spend 6,000. So that leaves us about $40,000 in the general fund without any sales, because we can never predict sales unless we, you know, we really go after them. So I'm just a little concerned that our numbers may come up short without that sales revenue. And that's why I kind of tied in the sales revenue. What is our plan for sales? Because that was the next item. I put those two together because what is our plan to go out and get that money, get those sales? And I think you've done a great job with the cemetery. I've said that many times. I stand by that. Both you and Anna have put in hours and hours here, and it is really turned around. I'm just concerned about the numbers getting to the end of the year. They don't seem to make sense to me. We may be dramatically short unless we hit the sales numbers.
The 60,000 a month.
No,
believe me, after April, I was freaking out, man. So I'm trying my best to make sure I meet the sales.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. April, we weren't going to meet the sales. We weren't going to meet the numbers. I know that. But actually, I feel good because I know we're kind of getting into the next item too, but I'm not sure how you want to do this. But yeah, I see your concern. I'm fearful of the same situation. What if we don't get the sales, right?
Right.
I am fearful. And right now, so the money that we get from the county, it comes and it dwindles in. We do have some money still with them, like I want to say like $20,000, that we need to draw down,
mm-hmm.
which is cool. I haven't drawn it down yet because I still have some money in the savings, right? So I'm just kind of like, you know, making sure that we meet the sales, making sure this is good, and we're just kind of like pacing ourselves. So I feel good.
Okay.
I feel comfortable. I feel good where we're at. I'm very excited about the last 2 months. I'm excited about the future months because I'm getting lead after lead after lead, right? People come in, I know somebody, I got some plots, and I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm selling, right? So I feel good about that. I mean, I just sold two just last week together, right? So that's, and then they're in the front, right? They bought $10,000. I'm like, there's two in the front. So I do feel okay. I'm not worried. I mean, yeah, if I was everywhere, I'd be like, man, I would not put the boots, I would not put a lot of these things, because I would not, you know, I would not be in that situation. I believe me, I worry about that stuff. And right now, I feel good in the way we're going. And I do feel that next year, our taxes are going to be good. And I'm hoping that I won't touch or I won't use, and I will survive the fall as far as, you know, before the big disbursement in January. So I'm really hoping that through our sales and whatever we have right now, we're going to make it.
Yeah.
And I think, and it's hard to predict because we just don't know. As a matter of fact, the county decides how much taxes you're going to get. Even though everybody pays property taxes for a cemetery, they decide what percentage of that you're going to get. And I'm like, why didn't just like a flat percentage? They don't know. Every year, though, this year you get this much. And it's like, wow. So you just don't know how much you're going to get every year.
Right.
Yeah.
So let me ask this question. So for school districts, there's a delay between July 1st and when they get their first principal apportionment, their income.
Yeah.
Now, typically, a school district will have to go out and borrow from an entity and pay the interest on that until that apportionment comes in, and then they can pay the loan back. So in the case of a cemetery district, if need be, assuming we're in the black, it's just that the money hasn't come yet, can you borrow from the county?
Yeah, they did that last year.
Okay.
So yeah, they had some problems here. Yeah, they did that last year.
Okay.
They could do that.
All right, so there is an option.
Yeah, they do that.
Okay.
I have a question. I'm thinking more Chamber of Commerce kind of question.
Yeah.
Chamber of Commerce promotes their business, correct?
Yeah.
Can't we promote our cemetery since we're the only one that has openings with all the other county cemeteries in Dramas County area? Can't we do something kind of like a Chamber of Commerce meeting with all the other cemeteries that pertain with us?
They're not part of the chambers.
I'm just using the word Chamber of Commerce, but like say all the other county cemeteries that pertain to our area, can't we do something like a mixer with them so that they can promote our cemeteries since they are all up to par with their,
correct? I met with them 3 months ago, and I actually went to go visit one of them a few months ago, and I'm going to go meet with one of them. I know them. I think they know that they're maxed out, and they already send it our way. They don't want it.
They don't want it.
Yeah, they don't want nobody.
Well, they can't take anything. They're
right.
Full.
They don't. They.
How many are there? 8, 6?
No, there's only 5 in the whole county.
5.
Yeah, but we have one in Wilmington, and that's already sold out. You got Lakewood. Little Lake, and then you have Downey, and the other one is Lancaster, and they got lots of room over there, but.
Nobody's
doing
the
way. Yeah, exactly. But we're the only one here. So believe they know they don't. They're, as a matter of fact, I was talking to the Downey one because they have the northern part of Bellflower, and I said I would like to incorporate the Bellflower below yours so I can go to Chile. You can take it all if you want. You know, we'll tell that, but they don't want it. I mean, they just want Downey people for the last few spots. That's it. And I'm like, wow, they're really in there. They actually win. Some people go there, and they come over here and bury their. Personally, because they wouldn't let them down.
I came one time, I don't know why, I think we were having something here, and there was a big, big funeral going on, and there was all kinds of people, and they were from Carson.
Yeah.
And I was like, Carson? And I'm guessing Wilmington. Wow. That's right there, Carson, Florence.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, oh, okay, that's kind of weird, but then that's when my brain started going, oh, okay, well, we could promote our cemetery to these other cemeteries that are full.
Mm-hmm.
But you said they're already doing that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they're already, believe me, we're already doing that. They don't want no business. They don't want nothing. We'll see our changes. They got room. They keep preferring. But remember, we have 700 plots left on this site, and we got 3 acres. We're good. We're selling. I'm finding plots all the time. I know I could find plots. There's tons of plots. I just don't have the time to find them. I know where they're at. I know how to find them, and I know. I just don't have time to go out there and. Okay, here we are. There's another one. Here's another one. I know where they're at. They're everywhere. I just tell somebody, where you want to stay? Over there. I'll find one. Give me a day. I'll find it. And I find it. I'm like, GoPro? 36 by 70. I got you. Right here. I just found one. And we know it because I know how they fit. But the other folks, I don't know what they were doing. I found two side by side that I just buried somebody in last week. And the map is had no room. There was a person here, a person here. But I just saw two spaces between these two. Why would they put them together? I just on the map, and I so the map is around. They're not accurate. So now if there's six of them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and I find it between the 4 and the 5. I find two spots. How could there be a spot between 4 and 5? So now I have to call these two spots 4.1 and 4.2, because they're right after 4. You know, because that's where I found them. But you see what I'm saying? And a lot of our maps are the same way.
Wow.
I don't know. So we have spaces, we have clients, everything's moving in the right direction. So I do think that in April, I'll be honest with you, in April I thought we have to lower our prices. I didn't know what I was freaking out. But it's not lowering our prices that the answer is. The answer is raising our standard, right? Raising how nice the cemetery is. You raise that up, man, they're going to come. They're going to come.
Value.
So I did not want to, I was freaking out. Should I lower the price? I need business. I need somebody, right? And it just happened by itself. We just got to let it, just give it some time. We're going to get better, and it's going to get by itself. And then the numbers seem like it's starting.
Yeah. It didn't happen by itself. It's your hard work and Hannah's hard work and the guys out in the yard and the appearance, the social media presence, the positive comments. People see the difference. Mm-hmm. They see the difference. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Regarding the profit and loss sheets, I have a question, and I'm going to just please help me to understand this. The endowment is money we don't touch.
Correct.
Okay. You have it listed as income.
Yeah, because it's money that we take in, but it's not a part of the money that we can account for.
Correct.
The computer system just keeps, when we log it in, income goes to the bank. You know, it's to mean an income. I'm trying to trying to separate it just because it goes to the same bank account, it just takes it in.
Right. Bank. So what I would, so my question is, you have $7,000 in the July report. You have $13,500 in the August report. Under expenses, that should be taken out.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can have done is create an exchange account where money comes in and money goes out. So it doesn't affect the bottom line. Because at the end of the day, August, you have $13,500 as income.
Yeah.
It shows you a $5,877 profit at the end of the month, which in reality is a loss. Because you can't use that $13,500 as operating expense. But what we set up was an exchange account simply in QuickBooks, so the money comes in and then the money comes out as an expense, even though it's in your bank account.
Right.
And that way
I'll ask him about that. The guy that we use, I mean, he's pretty good, and he's been advising us, kind of setting it up, but I'm not sure how he is as far as, when I used to do the manager report, I took it out there, but the manager report was not as clear as kind of showing you like this, so I thought keeping it like this, but I'll ask about creating like an exchange account.
Yeah, so the $5,877 minus the $13,500 produces a loss for August.
Mm-hmm. There's no way it shows up there.
Right?
Yeah. So you take away the $13,000 from the endowment.
So that we need to find a way to adjust that on the computer so we can, and so that's where my concern is regarding the actual budget.
That's a very good
revenue.
Catch.
Mm-hmm. And the revenues.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you saw this with one eye, just think what you could do.
I know, but think what I'm doing too.
Oh man.
So with that, that's maybe we can work on that for the next month's reporting.
Yeah, I'm trying to get that through. You gotta cancel that out.
All right. Yeah. So we'll receive any questions on.
I have questions on this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. So you might want to ask Anna to leave, but we'll leave it up to your discretion. I have a question on item, or line item 5040.
5040, okay.
So I see that this budget is reduced somewhere in 2020. 1, 2, 3, 4, with 4 months left. And I'm wondering why that happened.
During the budget discussion, the board determined that they want to eliminate the assistant or the office manager position commencing at the end of February for the rest of the fiscal year, and they directed me to cancel that position and eliminated from the budget.
And the reason for this is?
I'm not sure. I wasn't told a reason for it. There's some reasons that the previous chair had a reason, a personal reason, but it wasn't, and she kind of told me that reason, but it's not a reason that it's not a reason that's a.
That's all right. So let me ask.
Part of thing.
Is this a fiscal reason? There is no money.
No, it's not a fiscal reason.
All right. So
that I know of is not a fiscal reason. I was not a part of the club sector, but it's not a fiscal reason. It was not a fiscal reason.
So again, I'm old. All right. But the wheels spin a little slower than 20 years ago. So if this position is eliminated, who's in the office? Who's in the office when you're out showing
clients to people? It would not be a very functioning office, I'll tell you that.
Who answers the phone? Who takes the minutes in these meetings?
There's a lot of stuff that we tag team, and she does a lot for the office while I'm doing stuff in the grounds with the guys or out there selling. Yeah.
I think go ahead, Trustee.
What had happened in the past meetings is we were going like what other cemeteries had. That's how our conversations were going. And all the other cemeteries only have the one person running the office. Of course, us, we have openings again. We have a big mess here when we all got here. So, and I think if I'm correct, and I could be wrong, I think Anna maybe stated that she would work for 1 year, correct?
Say that again?
That Anna had stated that she would give us 1 year of her time, basically.
I don't remember she said
that. No, did you ever say that?
No, that was never said.
Okay. Well, that we were all, you know, we were going by what all the other cemeteries were going by. They all have the office manager. And of course, we all took into consideration that we have a mess here, we have openings here, and we were going to follow up what will happen next year.
Actually, to me, we actually need staff here on the weekends.
I think so too.
Well, that's kind of silly to me. And technically we can close on the weekend. Mm-hmm. But be that as it may, for me, I personally find it offensive to treat an employee in a manner where this is just reduced in midstream. Now, there's been a reduction in expected income. You know, layoffs layoffs have to. I'm not under the impression, from what I've checked on in the past and from listening to the discussion tonight, that we are in that position. Is this a correct assumption?
That's right, I know that's a correct assumption.
Now, on top of this, and I will get back to line 5040 in a moment, I'm looking at above 4900, where we have a City of Cerritos Park lease where we receive nothing. So to me, a reduction in personnel does not jive with a line item where we basically are giving away something. I mean, do you have an explanation?
No, the park lease actually has been going for a long time.
Okay.
When I discovered it, I don't see what we get out of it. We have a contract, but it has no money in it. We don't have any money for it. I did find out that, well, they said that my predecessor, that it was written somewhere that they would reduce or discount the reclaimed water, but I look at our bill, it has no discount on the reclaimed water. So I just don't know what benefit we're getting from the lease, as far as I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perhaps the two of you as veterans can enlighten me on both of these issues.
Trustee Gonzalez, I'm going to speak here.
Please do.
From my understanding, we had received additional funding from Janus Fund, which was one-time funding to fund an assistant, an office staff individual for 1 year. So that is where the funding ends at that particular point.
Okay.
I did have a conversation on a personal level with Mr. Mendoza that if we wanted to move forward and keep that individual, we would be able to raise the money ourselves. So that would be through creative finance. I think we had that conversation. I said we need a plan for that, whether it's through more sales, whatever the mechanism becomes, to keep our staff intact. So
So we need to start, this was a few months back, okay? We need to start thinking about that as we approach the end of the year, how are we gonna work this out? So that's the reason in the funding reduction. It has nothing to do with Anna personally. It is nothing of that nature. It was a one-time allocation of additional funding for the staff individuals.